The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. I speak only to the greater glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as anyone who knows me will tell you, I've always been a big fan of puns and corny jokes, although now that I'm a dad, it seems more natural, more befitting of where I am in life. But today, we get one of my favorite gospel readings because we get Jesus being a bit of a biblical punster. We get, finally, the dad joke of the Gospels, when St. Peter gets his famous nickname that will stick with him for the rest of his life and memorial to come. Because though we've read that text many, many, many times and read so much religious seriousness into it, it's actually meant to be a somewhat funny moment. Even though the text of that declaration, "You are Peter," in Latin, is scribed into the dome of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." We've made it a little bit too serious in the history of Christianity, when really it was a joke. Because Peter, Petra, meant rock, literally. So he is naming his disciple, Simon Peter, Rocky, essentially, after he hears him give the teacher's pet answer to the question that Jesus asks at the beginning of the gospel. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And like Peter always does in his good, faithful teacher's pet way, he says, "You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the one we've been awaiting to free us. You are the Son of God." And, well, he's right. But Jesus does not respond with seriousness, but instead a joke. He responds with, "Therefore I will call you Peter, the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, there are two ways to hear that. Either we hear it the way it often has been heard, that Peter is the rock upon which the church is built. Peter is this perfect example of Christian discipleship on which the church for the ages will be set. Well, if we look at Peter in the rest of the Gospels, he's not exactly the perfect example of being a good disciple. Not only does he deny Christ three times, he tries to walk on water like Jesus and immediately freaks out and falls in. He constantly is missing the point. Not long after this, Jesus will tell him, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to the same Peter that he said is the rock upon which the church will be built. So I don't think it's that Peter is this perfect stone statue of what it means to be a Christian. But instead I see a little bit of humor here, that Jesus is saying, okay, even you stubborn rock that refuses to get it, even you hard-headed one, even upon your confession, even upon you I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But what was that one quality, even with the rock-headedness of St. Peter, that made him able to be the ground upon which the church was built? It was that answer to the question that Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" "I say that you are the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who has come into the world." It is upon the strength of his confession, his belief in God, not his achievement, not the absolute unshakability of his faith, for it is quite shakable as we go through the rest of the Gospels. Not because of any particular one quality of him, but because of his unfettered belief in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, because of the strength of his confession of faith. So even upon a rock-headed one like him, may the church be built and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, as the scriptures say. So now, what does that mean for us? That no matter what we do, no matter how well we accomplish what we set out in the Christian life, the number one thing upon which God will build his kingdom in our lives is our belief in him. That if we do not start by truly believing in the core of our being that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the one who came into the world, is the one who loves us, cares for us, and died on the cross for us, then if we can simply believe that, God can build miraculous things on that foundation. Even if we continue to be the rock-headed individuals, many of us, at least myself included, continue to be as we live out our lives in this world. But if we lean hard upon that confession, if we constantly ask ourselves, who do we say that Jesus is? If we can answer, like Peter, that he is our God, that he is the one in control of the universe, that he is the one who, from the heights of heaven, decided to come join us in our human condition because he loved us so much, then in that we can find an amazing power, an amazing foundation on which God will build things greater than we can ask or imagine. But it is up to us to remember that confession, to keep our eyes fixed on Christ, not to let our faith fall back when things start to get hard in life, not to wonder whether or not Jesus is really what he says he is. For if we simply are able to keep the strength of our belief, remind ourselves of our confession that we give every week in the Creed at Mass, we may have a foundation upon which God may build a church. The gates of hell, though they will try, cannot prevail against. Amen.